بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday, last two days we have been in the UAE, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And very interestingly, I met two people, both Indian, both not Muslim, and over the time that we spent with them, the meaning of the ayah of Surah Ibrahim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِسْتَعَذَرَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٍ. This meaning became so clear to me, alhamdulillah. I've had this experience before as well, but it's very interesting and good to have it again and again. Both of them work for companies, executives, on different levels of seniority, but both of them are executives in companies. The first one, during the course of conversation, talking about the UAE and talking about conditions here, he said, the place is good. We have been here over 25 years. And he mentioned a lot of things that were good about the UAE. The efficiency, the cleanliness, the absence of corruption, the general infrastructure, which is top class. He spoke about traffic fines, he spoke about traffic regulations, the strictness with which they are implemented. And he said this is a very good thing because it saves lives. The speed cameras everywhere. And he said that all of this is very good for the people, because of that you don't have people over speeding, and you have, you know, therefore people are safer. He spoke about the efficiency, the courtesy of the staff in the airport, which of course anyone who's passed through Dubai will vouch for, and so on and so on. So he mentioned all of this. He mentioned, of course, the overall infrastructure, that is, roads which are smooth, they have no potholes, there are flyovers everywhere, the electric power doesn't go off, even though you're in the middle of a desert, water supply is regular and constant, there are beautiful gardens everywhere. So this is what he mentioned, over. So I told him, I said, obviously I'm very happy to hear all this. And of course I share his views, because I've been here enough times to know that he was not exaggerating, he was speaking the truth. But I said, is there any downside to this? Is there anything negative that you see here? So he said, anywhere you are, there will always be some things that you like and some things that you may not like. But he said, nobody forced us to come here. We are not prisoners. We haven't been dragged here in chains. We came here of our own free will, and we can leave whenever, anytime we like. We came here, we made a good life for ourselves. The environment here, the people here, the government here has made it possible for us to do that. We don't have to fear for our lives. Nobody is going to come and kill us here. We don't have to worry about, who we worship, what we eat. And so on and so forth. And he said, we are happy. And he said, if we are not happy, then we can always go back to India, where we came from. So what's there to complain? So that's one person. The other person, I had the occasion to spend practically about 4 or 5 hours with him, because he drove us to Abu Dhabi and back from Dubai. The same person, speaking about the same country, the same situation, had almost everything negative to say about it. He said, traffic fines are there, but you see, it's actually police making money. So I said, how is that police making money? He said, I'll give you an example. And this example he gave is, he said, there's what is called happiness police. And he said, happiness police is that they will stop you and then they give you vouchers. They say your driving is good and everything is, you have been driving well, we've been watching you, you're driving well, your car is well maintained and so on. And so here is a voucher. Here's a voucher for dinner or this or that or some gift coupons and so on and so forth. So this is positive reaction or positive interaction from the police, which is not normal in practically in any country. He says, but a friend of mine got stopped and he was given this voucher and all that. And now for the vouchers to be validated, the police ask for your license and your car registration. And he said when he gave his license and car registration and they scanned it, they discovered that his license had expired 2 months ago. So immediately there was a spot fine of 1,000 dirham and then his car was impounded and he had to then pay a fine of 9,000 dirham if he wanted his car back. So he said, see how they make money. So I said, well, I don't see, because the man was at fault. His license had expired 2 months before this particular incident. So why didn't he renew his license? He said, "Arey, sir, wo to hota hai." He said, oh, you know, that happens and, you know, people are busy and so on and so on. I said, hold on. If there is a law, whether you're busy or not busy, it's 2 months. And in 2 months, you know the law, you know what fine there is if you violate this law, and you do not renew your license, and then you want to blame the police. I mean, that is, at least to me, it doesn't make sense. He said, no, you see, you don't understand. I said, yeah, well, that much is right. I don't understand. Definitely, I don't understand. Then he says, this electricity and this and that, these are okay. What's the big deal about that? But, you know, this place, and he talked about money laundering and this and that. So and with great authority. So I said, you know, this is interesting. You seem to have a lot of knowledge about money laundering and so on. I said, have you ever done it? Or have you ever, do you know somebody who has done it personally? He said, no, I've never done it. And I mean, I'm a poor man. I don't have that kind of money. And I don't know anyone who's done it. So I said, when you don't know anyone who's done it and you have not done it yourself, how do you speak about it with so much authority? I'm not saying there's no money laundering. There's money laundering in any country. But you're speaking specifically about this place and you're saying it with such authority. So I said, if you really have so much of information, you must go to the police and tell them that this is what is happening. And, you know, maybe they'll give you a dinner voucher or something, I mean, happiness. So try and do that. Why don't you do that? Now, point I'm making, of course, he went on and on and on. I mean, I think there's no end to that. The point I'm making is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who's grateful to me, I will enhance and increase his blessings, and the one who's ungrateful, he should beware of a severe punishment. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, as far as the akhirah is concerned, Allah knows best, and we ask Allah to protect us from that. But in the dunya itself, in this life itself, I met these two people yesterday, one of whom was in exactly the same, living in the same country, same situation, same conditions. One of whom was happy and contented, and the other one was very unhappy and very discontented for the same things. Now, the point is that this is to me a sign of the adab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already having started on the one who's ungrateful. Gratitude gives you contentment, and contentment is the greatest blessing. It's not the amount of stuff that you have. It is how grateful you are for that stuff. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was walking down the street, and somebody asked him, they knew his lifestyle as being extremely, extremely simple, very minimalistic, to use our language. So he was going down the street, and he had a thobe on his shoulder. He was wearing a thobe, and he had another thobe on his shoulder. So somebody who knew him, he said, "You know, you live this life which is so simple and so you have no possessions, you have no wealth. How are you happy? I mean, how can you live like this?" So Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu said to him, "I have this thobe which I am wearing. I have an extra one which I wear on a Friday for Salah, for Jummah. He said, "I have a donkey that I ride if I want to ride. I have a goat which gives me milk. And he says, I have a roof over my head. I have a small, you know, tent or a hut or a house." He says, "What more can a man want?" He said, "What more can somebody like, somebody desire?" Now here is a situation, you might say, "Well, this is extreme, well, call it what you want." But the point is that here is a situation where there is somebody who is so, whose life is so simple, whose life is so free from any of the appurtenances of power and wealth, completely, you know, free from all that, and who is very happy, and he is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik came for Umrah, and then he asked somebody, "Are there any of the Tabi'in in Makkah?" So they took him to one of the Tabi'un, and Abdul Malik and Walid bin Abdul Malik, the Khalifa of Banu Umayya, he, the son of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, he asked this Tabi'i, he said, "Why am I afraid of death? Why do I fear death?" And the Tabi'i said to him, "You fear death because you have made your palace in this dunya and you have forgotten the akhirah." He said, "On the contrary, if you had remembered the akhirah and you had invested in the akhirah, then you would look forward to that. You would look forward to going there, you would look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you would not fear death." Now the long and short of it is that it is not the amount of wealth you have. On the one hand, I gave the example of Walid bin Abdul Malik, who is a Khalifa, who is a ruler, you know, who thinks he owns the world. And on the other hand, you have Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, who had nothing, meaning nothing material. But one of them is very happy and the other one is unhappy and afraid of death. Now all of this boils down to the contentment that we have. It boils down to the gratitude that we have. It boils down to being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. It boils down not to spend your life carping about what you don't have, but to be grateful about what you have, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you have. This doesn't prevent you from making dua for what you don't have, but it's by all means ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no limit to what you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But be consciously grateful for what you have. And that is the secret of success. And that is why I remind myself and you, let us develop this tendency of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to thank Him always for His mercy and His blessing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa li azimi sultanik. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our thanks. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us without hisab in this dunya wal akhirah, and to keep us free from dependence on anybody fi dunya wal akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin.